This is the Future of HR podcast, episode 123.
When you think about our transformation, we as a business have been focused on four main pillars, really, again, to drive the best service at the best value price that we can give to our customers. But from an HR standpoint, we've remained very steadfast on focusing on our people priorities that help to drive that. We've linked our HR initiatives to these four pillars under our business strategy, which I think one, keeps us relevant, right, with a lot of our leaders. And then two, helps as HR teammates to make sure that they remain very focused and they can see the linkage between what we're doing in HR and what we talk about externally with our shareholders and with our customers. On that front, we've prioritized engagement and our culture, ensuring that across our network, all of our employees come to work feeling valued, they feel recognized, they feel excited about the goals. We do our best to drive those goals all the way down to the operational level so they can see the progress they're making as the driver, as a dock worker, as a customer service rep, as a salesperson, and link that back to that company strategy.
How can you build a culture where employees feel valued and heard? Why is acting on feedback critical to building trust and improving business performance? Hi, I'm your host, JP Elliott, and this is the Future of HR podcast, the only podcast whose mission is to inspire the next generation of HR leaders. On each episode, I interview successful HR executives and thought leaders who are reimagining, rethinking, and leading our field into the future. During our candid conversations, you will learn about their career journeys, their lessons learned along the way, and their insights on how to take our field, and most importantly, your career to the next level. Hey everyone, I'm excited to announce an amazing resource for next-gen HR leaders that has been 2 years in the making. After conducting over 100 interviews over the last 2 years with the top minds in our field, I have put all the best advice into what I call the HR Leaders Blueprint, career acceleration strategies from 100-plus industry thought leaders. The HR Leaders Blueprint is completely free and filled with more than 18 pages of real-world advice from over 100 HR thought leaders. This guide delivers exactly what you need to know about building influence, driving business results, and accelerating your career. And just like the Future of HR podcast, the HR Leaders Blueprint is filled with simple, actionable, and proven strategies to help take your career and impact to the next level. To download the HR Leaders Blueprint, go to futureofhr.com. That's futureofhr.com. And if you want to get a jump start on your 2025 career goals, then you do not want to miss out on the HR Leaders Blueprint. And with that, my guest this week is Carolyn Roach. Carolyn is the Chief Human Resources Officer at XPO, which is one of the largest and most respected providers of LTL freight transportation shipping in North America, with revenue over $8 billion. Carolyn brings over 20 years of senior experience to her leadership role at XPO, including executive roles with prominent companies in the industrial and financial services sector. And prior to XPO, Carolyn led global talent management and diversity and inclusion at Jeld-Wen Inc., and earlier in her career held HR leadership positions at Corning and Bank of America Merrill Lynch. In my conversation with Carolyn, she gives us an inside look at how she and the team at XPO are building a trust-driven culture that has been key to their terrific financial results. I really enjoyed my conversation with Carolyn and appreciate her going deep at all the great things happening at XPO. In my conversation with Carolyn, we discuss how XPO is aligning its HR strategy to its business strategy, why XPO's approach to listening, action, building trust, and recognition creates a culture where employees feel heard and valued, how XPO is translating employee feedback into concrete action plans, how XPO is leveraging communications and recognition to strengthen their company culture, and Carolyn's advice to HR leaders who are undergoing transformational change, and much, much more. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode as you listen, so drop me a line on LinkedIn and say hello. And now let's jump into my conversation with Carolyn. Carolyn, welcome to the Future of HR podcast. How are you?
I'm doing great today, JP. Thank you so much for having me. It's wonderful to be here.
I want to start off talking about your career history a little bit. Everyone's path into HR is a little different. But tell us about how you got into HR and when you knew it was the right career path for you.
Great. Good questions to start with. In our family, HR was a regular topic of conversation around our dinner table growing up, actually. My father worked for a major hotel chain in human resources, and he'd come home with these great stories about all the various people and challenges that he encountered throughout his day. I think what was most inspirational, though, about my dad in his role was that he led with a values-first mentality, an outward appreciation for people at all levels of the company. I can remember we'd walk into a hotel and he would know the housekeeper's name. He would know the bellman's name. And then the next night he would tell us about how he was speaking to a board. And that really impressed me, his ability to use his HR skills to greet people with authenticity and then also to be able to drive business forward. And I thought, that's a pretty cool job. I think maybe I wanna do that one day.
That's really cool. So you actually got a chance to see what it was like to be an HR leader up close and personal, and you still went into the profession. Did you go right away and like knew that like out of like college and everything saying, hey, I really think I'm going to go into HR?
I can remember another conversation about my dad where he said, hey, Carolyn, even if you want to do this work, you probably actually shouldn't go into it first. You'll be a better HR professional if you understand how companies work, a little bit about business, a little bit about finance. You'll earn more credibility later on in your career. And so actually, I went and studied finance undergrad. And even for my first three or three and a half years out of undergrad, I worked in financial consulting, learning, problem solving, decision making, and consulting, and what great completed staff work really looks like. And I think that this helped me become a better HR professional. And when I made that change to go to grad school and then enter into this great world that we've been in now for 20 plus years, I look fondly back on those finance days, but I'm actually very glad that I'm doing the work that I'm doing now.
Absolutely. So it's such a great grounding, though, to have that, because sometimes we don't have that from an HR perspective, or people who go into our profession, we're more people oriented. Maybe we're not as much onto the math, the finance piece, or the business piece. So to have that really kind of balances you out. But you're happy to be an accountant or doing something in finance. You're happy to be in HR, and that's great.
I am. I can remember a performance review where a partner at the firm said, Carolyn, you're a great people leader, but you really got to work on your debits and credits a little bit. And that may have been the turning point, JP, where I decided it was time to go back to grad school and follow this path that I knew ultimately I'd be on.
Well, that's great feedback. Working your debits and credits. And you're like, well, I may have to work on a different career instead.
That's right. Absolutely.
And then over your career, you've worked in five different industries, four countries, probably lots of different roles over that time, moving from specialist to generalist roles, but maybe share one or two experiences that really helped shape you as a leader and over that course of that really that 20 years we talked about.
As I reflect back, sometimes I got lucky and sometimes it was purposeful in some of these moves, but many of the most formative experiences really came from my time living, working, and even traveling abroad to different countries. I think that I have a little bit of a unique perspective on inclusion, and some of that came actually from when I was living in London, which is a very diverse city. I can remember being in an elevator with a bunch of people who looked like me, right? We were all in our early 30s, Caucasian, dressed in business dress, but out of their mouths, they were speaking all these languages I could not understand. German, Polish, French, you name it. And to this day, I remember thinking diversity and inclusion is so much bigger than just your physical differences. It's cultural, it's religious, and it is extremely important across Europe as you think about the way they conduct business and even the way they share a meal, right? I learned so much about that when I was living there. Secondarily, similarly in Asia, I had the opportunity to live in Asia and work there, and I learned what true service, leadership, and service mentality really means. I learned from teammates across the globe that our Asia teammates in particular work very hard to stay connected. The time zones are extremely challenging, and they're just incredibly proud to work for multinational organizations and really to serve in what they do. Personally, I also learned it is really hard to stay connected when you're 12, 13, 14 hours ahead. And I try to remember this, JP, when I lead my global teams today, whether it's the way we set meeting times or the holidays that we celebrate, et cetera. I'm not perfect at it, but I try. I think those two experiences in particular hopefully help me be a better global leader in my role today.
Yeah, I think having that global mindset and being inclusive, like you discussed, is really critical, especially in global companies and roles, because it's easy to be a little bit more focused and myopic on our experience, whether you're in East Coast or West Coast, wherever your company is. Oh, this is how we operate. We're the headquarters and HQ, and so you should adapt to us. But when you have colleagues in India or China, it's nice to say, well, how about I'll stay up late tonight and take a late night call. You take a morning call. We reverse that every week, because sometimes they are the ones that are doing that in a global role for you if you work for a U.S. company. So I think that's great. But more importantly, the mindset you have just of understanding the cultures, that there's so much to diversity, right? That is beneath the surface, and we all are so diverse and unique in different ways. So Caroline, you joined XPO about a year and a half ago. Tell us more about what drew you to XPO and what you're excited about in this opportunity.
Yeah, about a year and a half ago, I took this role. It's been going great and it's been going fast. So I'm enjoying every moment and yet still learning a little bit every single day. So I joined XPO at a very pivotal time in our organization's history and really at a moment of transformation. The company had recently completed two large spinoffs and had appointed a brand new CEO to this business, to the now company XPO. I was very intrigued and excited about that opportunity to join at a time where almost the entire C-suite was new. There was a very strong and clear business strategy and actually a very strong HR foundation. But then to have the opportunity to help lead that, to help onboard a new team, to help really drive this strategy while being focused on the people aspects of it, right, on the HR side of the transformation, I thought it was a really exciting opportunity. I think from an industry perspective, I was particularly interested in this role, one, because I have moved industries. I've worked, as you mentioned, in a number of different industries. This was a new one for me. And freight, when you think about moving freight and moving transportation, it's really a people-driven business. We literally have people driving our trucks, right, or around the country and around the world every day. I think at XPO, we have approximately 35,000 people whose whole job is to ensure that our customers get their goods on time, in full, every single day. It's a simple strategy, but it's very critical to not only the economy here in the United States, but again, in Europe and in India and Canada and a number of countries where we operate. It is very critical, I think, to our economy, no matter what is going on in the world. Back to the service mentality and service attitude, I thought, hey, this is an industry where I can help people and also help the people that I have the opportunity to work with every single day.
That's awesome. And I think so important. And really, not take it for granted, but it can be a little bit invisible because people take, maybe we do take it for granted, the fact that everything does come on a truck, right? And the shelves are not like fully stocked. If a truck doesn't show up on time, we expect Amazon to show up, or we expect our grocery store to have food. That is all really the trucking industry, and it's really an important industry for the U.S. So I had worked in a little bit logistics, so I have also a special appreciation for that work. And I also think it's really interesting because it's people driven, but there's also a really cool element around logistics and math and how do you think about some really difficult problems. I know what windshield time is now and people calculate how far you have to drive and how do you get the most effective route. So I'm a little bit of a geek on that area myself. But as you guys are going through this transformation, I'm curious about how you changed and shifted your organizational and HR strategies to adapt to being more of a pure play.
Great question. And I'm glad you have the logistics side. And if you think that the truckers were invisible before, I guarantee you after listening to this and after chatting, you will notice how many trucks are out on the road and maybe wave hello. I always tend to wave hello to the drivers as they go by. My kids think I'm a little crazy when I do that, but I do wave and say hello and hopefully bring a smile to one of our driver's faces. When you think about our transformation, we as a business have been focused on four main pillars, really, again, to drive the best service at the best value price that we can give to our customers. That's reshaped a little bit about how we operate as a company and how we serve our customers. But from an HR standpoint, we've remained very steadfast on focusing on our people priorities that help to drive that. We've linked our HR initiatives to these four pillars under our business strategy, which I think, one, keeps us relevant, right, with a lot of our leaders. And then two, helps as HR teammates to make sure that they remain very focused and they can see the linkage between what we're doing in HR and what we talk about externally with our shareholders and with our customers. on that front, we've prioritized engagement and our culture, ensuring that across our network, all of our employees come to work feeling valued, they feel recognized, they feel excited about the goals. We do our best to drive those goals all the way down to the operational level so they can see the progress they're making as the driver, as a dock worker, as a customer service rep, as a salesperson, and link that back to that company strategy. I think it's going well. We've seen some great improvements over the last 18 months. We've actually seen our highest records of employee engagement in the company's history. I think our leaders that are out in the field are doing an outstanding job staying focused on that. From a talent acquisition standpoint, we've seen some of the highest numbers of applications per requisition. So I think people are feeling the buzz and are hearing about us, and they're really eager to come join this team and be a part of something great. And then we're also seeing our voluntary attrition come down, which is a metric that's very important to us because we don't want people to leave, right? We want people to be here and thrive here. And we've reached some of our lowest levels of voluntary turnover, some pre-pandemic levels, which I think is a measurement that a number of us in HR are using, is what was it like pre-pandemic? So to see that and to see that people are choosing to stay and thriving at the same time while we deliver outstanding results for our customers and our shareholders is a very positive pull through to the change efforts that we're making.
Well, congratulations to you and the team. That's terrific results and everything going the right direction around taking care of your teammates. And you also, I think, talked about, as we talked previously, there are four key elements that's really underpinning that strategy and where you are really trying to make these efforts. And that's really listening, actioning, building trust, and recognition. And I'd love to hear a little bit more about each of the areas and how you're bringing this to life, because you don't get great engagement scores, lower turnover, more requisitions coming through without executing those listening, actioning, building trust, and recognition strategy.
Yep, absolutely. Well, and I don't know that any of these are significantly different from what other companies are doing, but I think when they work together and when you really have managers, HR teammates, and employees that are living it, it can be something special and something quite magical. I'll take the listening one first. We really believe here in a culture of open communication where we do our best to ensure that there are no barriers between an employee and their manager. And even in the conversations that happen with my field HR team, listening to our team members is fundamental to our success. And it helps us create that collaborative and engaging environment. We do formal surveys where we are asking for feedback, very simple surveys to just help us get better. But more importantly, we conduct regular and frequent roundtable discussions with our senior leaders, as well as, you know, with our middle managers, to just sit down with our employees, sometimes at 2 a.m. when they've come back from a long night or a long route. And we ask them, what can we do to make your job better? Is there anything that we can do? And sometimes they tell us great ideas, and sometimes they just want to be heard. They just want to be listened to, and that's about it. And I think that value of really listening has helped. On my team in particular, and this is something that I think other HR leaders could think about, is that the majority of our HR function is out in the field, right? They are the teammates who are located in our service centers or across the regions. And I think that helps them stay very closely connected to our employees and allows these employees to build those relationships and share those sentiments. Our CEO, I love it. He gets texts from drivers all the time. He is often seen taking selfie pictures with people out on the dock. And that's just the way that we're leading here. And I think those are visual signs that listening to you is very important.
Hey, everyone. After a quick break, we'll be right back to our conversation with Carolyn. Are you ready to take your career to the next level? If you are, then you need to download the HR Leaders Blueprint, featuring battle-tested strategies from over 100 HR thought leaders and CHROs. This comprehensive 18-page guide delivers actionable steps, strategic frameworks, and real-world insights to elevate your impact. No theoretical fluff, just proven tactics to becoming a business-focused HR leader. And the best part, it's completely free. To download the HR Leaders Blueprint, go to futureofhr.com. That's futureofhr.com. And if you want to get a jumpstart on your 2025 career goals, then you do not want to miss out on the HR Leaders Blueprint. We'll talk more about actioning and what does that mean for the team as well. So now you're listening, now we're going to action.
Yeah, I think that's a natural path, right? Is if you're not actioning, then that listening is to a fault. So we try our best, JP, to respond to this feedback that we get, again, either through the formal surveys or through our informal conversations. More importantly, though, we empower our employees to take action as well. So in a local service center, and we have about 300 or so across the United States, they have action plans that local engagement teams are responsible for driving out. So we really do implore all the way down to our service center levels to take action. We have responded to suggestions. So as an example, there are a number of our drivers at 2 in the morning who would come back from a route, and then based on our staffing models or based on our freight flow, they'd have to work the dock. They'd have to get out of their truck, come unload freight, restrap freight. And they just said, hey, we don't want to do this anymore, right? We would like an hour break. And so we've changed our approach to our staffing, and we allow drivers to opt out. To your point, if you just want to hang out in the break room and rest for an hour, that's totally fine, right? We will allow you to do that. Many of them actually chose not to do it. They actually do want to work, but just the ability that we listened and then actioned, I think, earned us tremendous credibility with that group of employees. And you're right, it spreads like wildfire. We're a networked business. They talk all the time on their walkie-talkies. So just giving them this opportunity was a great demonstration of actioning. A couple other examples, we introduced a floating holiday. Many companies have this. We had one holiday that was in particular, and people said, hey, I don't celebrate that. Can I have a different floating holiday? So everyone gets 8 hours. You spend it to celebrate whatever cultural holiday is important to you and your family. And again, I think that that goes a long way. That was specific feedback we got. And then the third example I would say that really brings action to life is we are very focused, again, on creating shareholder and stock value and creation. And people said, hey, we would like to participate in that. We would love an employee stock purchase program where I can help be a part of the company's success. And that was something that historically the company had. We had gotten rid of it, and we're bringing it back, right? We're bringing it back based, again, on listening and then demonstrating that action. And then we can all share in this company's success, which I think will be, which will be great for a number of our employees and their families.
Yeah. And to your point, the fact that you listen and say, hey, we're going to bring this back, and you know, you have the option. Not everyone may partake of that option, but hopefully they have the option to do that. But it also sounds like, Caroline, one of the magic sauces that I heard there is they've got 300 different facilities, and each facility is working their own action plan and getting that accountability at the local level. Because a lot of times I think that's what people really want to know is like, hey, are you thinking about what's happening here at my XPO facility, what my manager's doing? I know there's things happen corporate, but then local HR support is so critical to bringing the culture to life. So it sounds like it's working.
Absolutely. I think the next piece, though, JP, is really on trust then. So you can listen and you can action, but at some point, your employees really need to trust you. And I feel like we have come a long way in that, but we as leaders still have work to do, right? There's times when we make mistakes and we're trying to make sure that our employees see that vulnerability. And then I think that earns some trust. We have an employee termination review board. So if someone is terminated for various reasons and they would like a jury of their peers to review, we allow that to happen. We allow them to sit with their peers and talk through it to say, hey, are we sure that this termination or this discipline was warranted? And it may not get overturned, right? But I think that having that instituted as part of our management routine really helps build trust with our employees and allows them to share their voice, right? Allows them to express that and builds credibility with our leaders and our managers and ultimately the HR team who's out there having to play align with management and align with employees in difficult situations.
And building trust is also about doing what you say you're going to do, which you guys have been doing on actioning, but it's also about communicating consistently. And how is there some tips you guys have around how you communicate with drivers on the road? It's not easy, right? They're in a warehouse. These are not our knowledge workers that are going to get an email and be ready for it, or even a Teams message, right? So is there anything you're doing more innovative to keep your finger on the pulse and communicate all these great things you're doing for everybody at XPO?
Yeah, another great question. And I think this is one we have some solutions, but we're not done. And we continue to try to find that perfect solution. I don't know if there is one, honestly, that there's a perfect solution. But a few things we try to do is we have intersection TVs or electronic bulletin boards in all of our service centers. I've been in other companies where we didn't have that. And I think that's very valuable here. So we use messaging, we use icons, we use images that are throughout the break rooms to just get critical information to our employees, but also QR codes where they can send us feedback back, right? And let us know how they're feeling. We use the pre-shift or win meetings very seriously. So that 5 minutes or so before a shift starts, it's called What's Important Now, or a win meeting, you know, acronym there. And we talk about some corporate communications that need to come out. We talk about safety and the focus on safety. And then we talk about any local news or local recognition. It also allows our teammates that are there, again, in the morning or late at night, to have the opportunity to engage with leadership just for those few minutes before they're out on the job by themselves for a long period of time. Those meetings are very, very important to that trust, that interaction, that communication with our teammates. Again, us as leaders, we text our teammates a lot. We talk to them in forums. We do a lot of roundtables where we'll pull 10, 15 of our best drivers, our million mile drivers, and we'll say, hey, we're testing this for a safety policy change or a benefits change. What do you think? Is it going to resonate? What would you like to see differently? And then we share that back through the network. We love to do pilots. We love to, again, share some of these stories. So we do the best that we can. We are exploring, I would say, more technical and technology kind of advancements, but it's very hard because we don't want our drivers on their cell phones or on their devices on the road. It is illegal to do that. They cannot be focused on that. So you have to find that delicate balance when you're trying to communicate with a dispersed population.
Well, tell you you're thinking about the right way. I love the win meetings. I think that's really critical and really helpful to do that and make sure you're building trust and getting those managers take the lead. Well, the last piece you talked about was recognition. So how are you encouraging both informal and formal recognition of your team members?
Excellent. This is the best one, right? We love to celebrate the wins and the successes. And I think respecting and rewarding and recognizing your employees is really fundamental to the culture here at XPO. It starts with Mario. It starts with our CEO from the top. He is well known to ask for MVPs during town halls, and he'll email them directly and send a note. And I mean, JP, people print these out, right? They print out these emails that they get from our CEO or members of our leadership team. We also focus on operational excellence and safety awards where the entire service center can participate. So an entire local service center, if they win an award, gets recognized with barbecues, with signs, with literally gold medals that they hang proudly across their service centers. We recognize our veterans through warrior walls that we put up to celebrate the service that they and their families have made to their countries. We do an employee appreciation week. We do a summer picnic. And all of those are somewhat personal. The summer picnics, as an example, are, again, facilitated at that local service center level because we know there's a true sense of community there. And I, sitting in Connecticut, I don't know what the teammates in Florida want to do, you know, for their summer picnic. So we allow and empower those employees to vote and decide what they want to do. We do use different forms of points where people can buy things from catalogs. And then obviously service anniversaries. We have a lot of very tenured, longstanding employees who have dedicated a lot of their life to this organization. And we take it very seriously to celebrate them. When you retire, you get a beautiful gold truck. It's a really nice gold truck and an award, and make a big deal out of people who have been here a long time for us. So again, a lot of different ways. I appreciate the variety of awards that we give. We're always looking for feedback on what's working and what's not working. But I think we're trying to strike that right balance also of reward and recognition here.
Caroline, as you think about advice for HR leaders who are embarking on an organizational transformation, they've got to get the buy-in from their senior leaders, really want to help make an impact like you're having at XPO, what advice would you give them and what should they expect from their HR team?
The focus on creating strong connections, and I come all the way back to the start of our conversation, but connections with leaders at the top that are going to help you drive your strategy and help you drive your HR strategy. And then all the way down with our employees that are in the field or that are joining us for the first time, making sure you have very strong connections there and relationships there is very critical to driving that business strategy. I also think spending time in the field, again, different industries allow and afford HR professionals different experiences, but making sure that as HR leaders, you understand these unique challenges that our employees face firsthand is very, very critical. When I joined here, I learned that many of our recruiters had never been to a service center. And I thought, how can you recruit for a job that you've never really seen? It's very different on a dock where there's crosswind coming across or there's rain. Or again, when you see how large these trucks are, or you go to a service center and you're sitting with the customer service team and you hear them answering questions every day, like you need to experience it. You need to really understand some of those day-to-day challenges. And so I got my recruiters out there. I'm going to try to get a number of my other HR teammates out in the field on a regular cadence because I do think it makes a difference. And then be vocal in advocating for your employees. Use data, obviously, right? Make sure you know your data, make sure you know your numbers, but make sure you're thinking about programs and solutions that can drive business growth and employee engagement. I think you can do both. I really do think that you can do both. I don't think it has to be one or the other. You need to continue to focus on it. So maybe the third piece would be just to continue to focus on building that trust. We are all real people, and we need to make sure that people see that. You need to build that trust and not be, for us, a voice behind a microphone or a voice on a screen. You need to be out there and be real and authentic, and helps to build that trust so that when you do institute a program or a new benefit or a transformational change, there is buy-in and that change management becomes a little bit easier.
Great, great advice, Carolyn. Last question for you. What is one word or phrase that you believe will define the future of HR over the next 5 to 10 years?
I think there were two things that I've thought about in prep for this question. And one, I guess for all my HR colleagues out there, just continue to be inquisitive. We need our HR colleagues to have a hunger for learning and for understanding, to be able to bring business solutions to your organization that fit your organization and help solve your people strategies. You have to ask questions. You have to be inquisitive. You have to be in that learning mode. You have to be willing to be vulnerable. And, you know, I asked my head of FP&A today a question because I didn't understand something that I needed some clarity on. And I think that's really, really important. So continue to be inquisitive. Don't stop learning. Don't stop asking questions. And then the second one I thought of was connection or connectors. And this crazy world we live in is rife with disruption often. And there's changes in technology and in politics and in the economy, and the HR function can be so powerful. It can be a true connective tissue that keeps organizations and people engaged, delivering for others, focused on one plan. So whether that is personal and individual connections, or whether that us as an HR community, we drive collective connections across internal teams and external teams, I think that's really, really critical for us and for business going forward.
Well, Carolyn, thank you for sharing all the great work you guys are doing at XPO. It's a great conversation.
Well, thank you so much again for having me, JP. I'm humbled and honored to be asked, and I look forward to continuing to work with you and your team going forward.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of Future of HR Podcast. Thanks again to Carolyn for sharing her insights on how XPO has been building a trust-driven culture. As always, you can go to futureofhr.com to view all of our past episodes and learn more about our mission to inspire the next generation of HR leaders. And if you enjoyed this episode of Future of HR, be sure to subscribe or share our podcast with at least one other person. This really helps us to grow the podcast and helps with our mission of inspiring the next generation of HR leaders. We'll be back next week with Kelly Monahan and Christy Smith, who've written a terrific new book called Essential: How Distributed Teams, Generative AI, and Global Shifts Are Creating a New Human-Powered Leadership. This is a great conversation with two future of work experts, and you will not want to miss it. Thanks again for listening to the Future of HR and being part of our community.